Into sports.
20 yards out, Hurst to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
And get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites. The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
Right, a very good afternoon to you this Friday afternoon. You're welcome along to the Paddy Power Half Hour. It's Gerry Gilroy with you alongside Enda and Jason this week. Enda, how are you?
Not too bad, Gerry, yourself?
Jason, what's going on?
All good, Gerry, thanks.
This is not a bad weekend of football, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Yeah, some tasty games.
Saturday's okay. Sunday, I think fairly routine stuff is going to happen. But let's get straight into it. We have been... I'll give you the fixtures first off. I'll let you out there make up your own minds whether or not you think it's a good weekend of football. Starts with Leicester against Liverpool, which should be a decent way to kick off your Saturday afternoon. And then you can, you know, watch the rugby or whatever else you're doing on Saturday afternoon. Crystal Palace against Burnley. Manchester City against Spurs. Excellent game. Plenty for us to get our teeth stuck into there. The latest round of Jose versus Pep. And Brighton against Aston Villa. Not a bad way to round things off on a Saturday evening. On Sunday, it's Southampton against Wolves. You can ignore that safely. West Brom against Manchester United at 2 o'clock. Arsenal against Leeds up against Ireland and France. And Everton against Fulham is a 7 o'clock kickoff. Monday, two games. West Ham versus Sheffield United and Chelsea versus Newcastle. So that is this week's fixtures. We've been asking you on Twitter if you think Manchester City are going to win it all. Can Manchester City win the quadruple this season? Here's what people think. No, which is obviously the easy answer, 43.9%. Lads, relax, 31%. And only one in four of you out there think that Manchester City will win the quadruple with no fans in the stadium. What was your thinking in setting up that poll, Enda?
Well, as one smart listener or Twitter user pointed out to me, the only correct answer to that question is actually yes, because they can actually win all four of those trophies. The question is, will they, Ger? And I suppose one of the reasons you're looking at that is Man City are coming into the form of their lives. They're peaking at the absolute right time. They're probably going to win the Premier League. They're in the League Cup final. They've got a history with the FA Cup now. And with the Champions League behind closed doors, you just wonder, is the pressure off these Man City players a little bit now? And players like Sterling, who had never scored or never played well at Anfield, scored at Anfield last week. And you're just thinking, maybe this is the year that Man City finally break that upper echelon of clubs and win themselves a European Cup. I think without the Premiership, without the League Cup, without the FA Cup, if Man City win the Champions League this year, then that is the biggest victory for Pep going to Man City. That will be, all the money they spent will be worth it, because they will be officially part of the big six clubs across Europe.
And it only cost them a couple of billion to get there. What a great story of a plucky underdog, eh?
Listen, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it, because nobody really, well, people do point out the fact that Man United spent a lot in the late 90s, early 2000s, but nobody really points that out. They only really look at the great side that was the class of 99. They look at the great side that was 08. And it's the same with the dynasties across Europe. AC Milan, Europe is where you make your club into more than just a domestic club. And if Man City can win the European Cup this year, then it will be worth it, because they will join Man City, they will join Man United, Chelsea, Real Madrid, Barcelona, AC Milan, Bayern Munich. They will officially earn their place in the Super League.
Yeah, and look, that was the whole point from the get-go. That was the whole point of creating the architecture to lure Pep. They've lured Pep. He's been there a long time, and this is supposed to be their moment. We did the odds on this a couple of weeks ago, and I worked this out. This is the one that I managed to work out in my head. Isn't that right?
You did, yeah. Unbelievable maths on the spot, sure. Yeah, do you want to hazard a guess what price it is now?
It's shortened to 12 to 1.
You must be checking the site or something.
I'm not. Like
that. Yeah, brilliant. No, you're bang on, yeah. Again, it's straightforward one to price up. It's four competitions, 1 to 25 to win the league. That's a gimme. They've shortened in the League Cup final against Spurs. City playing well. Spurs on a bit of a downer. 1 to 3 to win that. They've got a difficult draw in the FA Cup you know, City have been accused of getting easy draws, but away at Hereford, they could have got a lot easier than that. So they're about maybe 6-4 to win that. And then in terms of the Champions League, that's the big one. Like Enda alludes to, similar to Chelsea, the Abramovich, he wanted the Chelsea to be recognised as a European super club, but they had to win one, I think, to get the seal of approval on that. And City need to do that. But they're 3-1 to win the Champions League, and that's what juices it up to 12-1 to do the quadruple.
Right.
But as the person that tweeted in that says, it is possible. Of course it's possible. Whether to do it or not is another thing.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on, because we'll actually get to talk about City a little bit against Spurs and some of the details around that. And I do like the soap opera around that. I think that if there's an opportunity for Pep to absolutely stick it this weekend to Jose, then he is going to be doing that. So let's move on. Our Paddy Power specials. Last weekend, a winner. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. What was it?
Second winner in a row. I think we had a Crystal Palace Wolves win the week before that. Now, last week we had United to score in the first half, Everton to score in the second half. And my bet builder actually fell because I had United to score first half, Everton to score second half. But I added Bruno Fernandes to get booked in the game as well. And that obviously killed it for me. But a winner nonetheless. And this week we're going for some more again. I think the specific bets have been working out for us rather than the broader bets. So I've added in a couple of broad ones here and there, but the specific ones we're going for this week is Leicester halftime draw full time in the Leicester Liverpool game, which we'll talk about. Man City to win 2-0 against the aforementioned Spurs, and Ederson to score a penalty is the broad bet of the week. I think that one's unlikely, but Jason, how are they working
Hang on. You had this amazing run before Christmas where you had like an 18-1 winner, a 12-1 winner, and a 7-1 winner, and you got drunk and you haven't sobered up. And I just want to say, at some point, Enda, someone needs to tell you, go home, because these bets are ridiculous this week, I think. Now, sorry, Jason, you're the expert. Tell us a little bit about these ones.
Yeah, so the Leicester halftime draw full time, obviously Enda has an angle, and you can find value if you can work out angles for games. It is 12-1. We've enhanced it to 16-1 for the off the ball specials on site. So 16-1 tells you the chances of it actually happening, but again, it's a possibility. In terms of the Man City to win 2-0, that's a way of juicing up the price there. We've enhanced it on site to 11-8. It's normally 6-5. My one thing that I would say about that is Ruben Diaz is a doubt. Fernandinho and Rodri are doubts as well. So if Rodri misses, Fernandinho is the natural replacement. And if you think of how Spurs are going to score a goal, it's likely going to be on the break, and those would be key players in stopping a break. Man City haven't conceded a goal in open play in 10 games in the Premier League. So it does have a good chance of clicking. It's a sharp price. You would expect it. It is a really good chance of clicking. And in terms of the Ederson one, it's a really interesting angle based on what Pep has come out with, the fact that City have missed 9 penalties since the start of last season. Just in terms of penalties, there's a couple of interesting stats. If we compare the top 5 European leagues from the last 2 seasons to this season, every 100 goals, 9 of them is normally a penalty, is what we've seen the last 2 seasons. It's actually 11 of every 100 goals is a penalty now. So we've seen an increased rate in penalties, partly down to the way VAR has been implemented. And we've seen an increase in success rate in penalties being scored. So normally you'd see 7 out of 9 penalties being scored, 78%. If you look at Aguero's record, he's taken 60 penalties in his career. He scored 47 of them. It's bang on. But the success rate has gone up to 81% across Europe this season. That's a sample of just over 400 penalties. And that's possibly down to not having fans in the stadium. So you're more likely to see penalties, more likely for them to be scored. But what is the chances of Ederson taking one if City get them? That's the question. We've enhanced it, put it on side at 25-1. And to simplify it for yourself, if you think Ederson has a 20% or more chance of taking the City penalty if they're given one, that's a bet at 25-1. If you think the chance is less than 20%, then there's not value in that bet.
Okay, and that makes sense, and I can see the logic there. But it also means that City are like completely deviating from the norm here. There is a crisis of confidence in their penalty taking.
It's just variance. Liverpool have scored their last 19 penalties.
No, I'm not buying that.
David De Gea has
you can't just live in the maths. There's something crazy going on, and you can't explain it away with your fancy maths. There's something weird.
Like we said,
there's somebody killed a chicken or slept in an Indian burial ground or something. They've done something wrong at Manchester City that they're missing all these penalties.
We do agree that there is a psychological factor to it. And even if you're playing your local club soccer down in Carlow, if you have lads that missed a few penalties, the pressure increases with each one to make sure you score the next. But in the long run, City will score, like everyone else, about 7 out of 9 penalties.
Well, then, for me, can I just over the course of the season, that means that they're far more likely to score these penalties because they've got to make it back. They've got to somehow get back to the mean, right?
No, because they're all independent events. Independent
you
events.
You can't tell me that. That doesn't make any sense. How did that?
You toss a coin. All right, Jar. Very simple.
No, don't give me the
very
toss
simple.
A coin.
No, very simple. You toss a coin 10 times and you get 10 heads. You toss a coin next week. What's the chances of it being heads?
50-50.
So there you go. It's the exact same logic.
But then what's the point of knowing what the mean is over the course of the season?
So that you can price it adequately, but there can be quirks, and maybe City are more likely to miss penalties than others, and therefore you can back City to miss a penalty. You can have a look at the price, and if you think it's worth a value bet, have a bet.
So over the course of the rest of the season, they're not going to outperform. They're not going to make up the bits that they're already behind.
In terms of scoring penalties?
Yeah.
To get back to the average,
yeah,
they need to outperform the average for a significant period of time. If that's
so, they're more
the
likely
way
to score penalties for the rest of the season now. Just as does that not make sense?
It doesn't, because we underestimate the run of variance. It's not 100 penalties. It's not even 1,000 penalties.
It'll be
for Man City to correct that, they'd have to take 10,000 penalties for it to revert to the mean.
Okay.
Yeah. Which they won't get 10,000 penalties between now and the end of the season.
They're going to get 7 and they're going to score all 7. That's what I think. And I don't know if Ederson's going to take one, though, and that's a bit wild. Is there not like 8 other candidates ahead of him to take one?
Give or take, yeah. I would imagine there is, but I don't know. There's something about Ederson, you know, you could stick him in midfield and he'd probably do a job for you. So he's probably the cleanest striker of the ball after De Bruyne in that side.
He has taken penalties in penalty shootouts before. That's why this is actually something that has become a talking point this week.
Yeah, so he's just calm and he strikes the ball very well. So I think that's kind of where people are calling for him to step up instead of Gundogan or Jesus or whoever else is taking the penalties from Man City and missing.
Okay, all right. Well, hopefully we've cleared up some of the maths for you around that. I wouldn't use your money to back Ederson to score a penalty this week, but I definitely think that there's logic in the other two that I might do my best using some goal stats to debunk in a minute or two. So if you want to get involved, 0879 180 180 is the WhatsApp number. You can follow us at Off the Ball. You can get on Instagram and vote on our polls. We put them up every Thursday to see who you think is going to win the games. We're going to start with one of the best games of the weekend. It's Leicester against Liverpool. And myself and Ed are going to both talk through this. Leicester's XG process is good at home. 1.5 goals for, 1.3 goals against, 10th best, right? But Liverpool's away form, only Man City are better than them, which is why I think that your bet to have Leicester ahead and the game to finish a draw doesn't work for me, Enda. We asked for the polls what the crack was with that, and I'll bring you the result of that in a minute. You do think that Leicester are going to score first here and that Liverpool are going to peg them back and that this game's going to be a draw?
Yeah, like, well, I suppose the logic, or explaining the logic behind it, is that if you look at the second half percentage and the amount of chances and XG that is being created by both sides, it's exactly level at 0.72. So they're not scoring that many. They're creating almost a goal each. So it's level enough in the second half when you put it to the two of the sides. But in the first half, Leicester are just edging it. I think Liverpool are around about 43% of their goals coming in the first half. Leicester are 64%. So a fair bit ahead of them there in terms of their goals scored in the first half. So that's the logic of that. Leicester to lead in the first half and then maybe Liverpool to level it. But I suppose, speaking about this game and the mentality around it, I remember last year, earlier on in the season, Liverpool absolutely ravaged with injuries and Leicester had to go to Liverpool and win, and Liverpool beat them 3-0. And that's the game that the week after I got a lot of stick talking about Brendan Rodgers being a choker or a bottler, and you were backing him up. So this is another reflection of that. Can Leicester, who are going to a Liverpool side, Fabinho now confirmed out injured, Liverpool bad form, injury ravage, can Leicester step up to the plate and beat Liverpool? The pressure is off. This is a game that Leicester should be winning.
This is a game that they should be winning against one of the best teams in world football over the last couple of seasons. I'm not sure about that. What does the money say, Jason? What are the odds for this game? How do you price this?
Yeah, we've Leicester 23-10, the draw 5-2, and Liverpool 11-10. Liverpool in bad form, only 2 wins in their last 9, but they are still champions in name. The one betting angle I give for this is Matip is out for the season now. It's likely Henderson plays in the centre-back role. And the problem with the centre-back role we've seen with Henderson there is the run beyond them. As a midfielder playing in that position, it's the run in behind that you're just that half a second too slow to pick up on. So Vardy to get in behind, to score any time is 6-4. And Liverpool have actually conceded the joint most penalties this season, 8 penalties tied with Brighton and Wolves. So if Vardy doesn't score an open play, there's a fair chance of a penalty as well. So Vardy anytime at 6-4 is a good bet.
Okay, look, this is one of the games of the weekend, so we can spend a little bit longer on it. They're a very big price, Leicester, aren't they?
For me, I'll be honest, pricing it up, knowing the starting 11s we're likely to see, I'd be more likely to back Liverpool. If you were to have a free bet or you wanted to put it in an early Saturday acca, I'd be backing Liverpool at odds against for this. If you look at the last two meetings between the sides, Liverpool bet them 3-0 at Anfield earlier in the season, and then that Stevens Day win last year, which essentially secured the title, 4-0 win. So when Liverpool have actually come up against this specific Brendan Rodgers Leicester side, they have just outplayed them.
Okay, that's interesting, because the price is just big enough for me to go, that's a very big price. Maybe I need to take a look at that. But actually, logic is your friend in situations like this. Maybe you're right, just Liverpool are just a better team, but you're putting the pressure, ramping the pressure up, and as I suspect all the Celtic fans are, on the poor benighted manager of Leicester, who doesn't get any respect, but look what happened to you when he's not there now.
Nothing to do with that, because I think Brendan Rodgers is an excellent manager. We've said it a couple of times on this pod already, but this, if they want to be serious top four contenders and go beyond that, they need to beat Liverpool. And it's not a situation where you're thinking that, Liverpool are one of the best sides over the last couple of years. Liverpool are in the worst run of form in the last couple of years. They've got all their best defenders out injured. And Leicester, if they want to be taken seriously as top four contenders, and Brendan Rodgers taken seriously as a manager, these are the games that he needs to win. And they haven't won them in the past. They need to start winning them.
All right, here's what our poll said about what was going to happen in this one. Oh, it's tricky to make it out, but it's 47% Klopp, 53% think that it's going to be a Leicester win and that Brendan Rodgers is going to do it. So that is interesting, because that is not what the gambling market says. So there's a diversion, the opinions are diverging on that one. Let's move on. Crystal Palace against Burnley is next, and thankfully we don't need to spend too much time on this end. 54% Palace, 46% Burnley, and this could easily be the worst game of the weekend.
Yeah, as always, I give advice for these type of games, and that is to watch something else. With the Six Nations on, is there another game on at that point in time? I suppose there probably is. I haven't really looked at the rugby fixtures, but if there's anything to be on, if you need to get out of the house, then the time that Crystal Palace are playing Burnley is the time to do it. This is not a game to watch. And I suppose if you're looking for the angle of this game, you're looking at low scoring games, because just doing the numbers in terms of the chances of over 2.5, you have around about 20% chance of more than 2.5 goals in this game. So that's what you're looking at. And Wilfred Zaha is out injured as well for Crystal Palace, so that probably reduces their chances of scoring even further. So I think maybe Burnley might edge it just about in terms of the better form and Wilfred Zaha being out injured. But yeah, this is a game to skip.
Yeah, and I presume how do you price this?
Yeah, we've Palace favourites at 11-8, the draw 2-1, and Burnley 21-10. We want to always inform punters, make sure you know what you're backing, and Zaha missing is absolutely key piece of information. But even with him missing and the price having drift, I still wouldn't get with Palace at that price. But having said that, you don't always have to have a bet. But what we always do is a very generous acca treble every Saturday. We've City and Villa included, who I expect fully to win on Saturday, and Palace as well. We've enhanced it from 13-2 to 9-1. So if you wanted a bet that hopefully you'd get a run all day Saturday of if Palace win this game, there's a nice one there at 9-1.
Okay. Let's move on. Manchester City against Spurs. This is a game definitely worth talking about. So we were asking you, what was the crack with this one? It's 82%. In favour of Manchester City. Friendless Spurs at the moment. The 18% of our Spurs fans on Instagram clicking it now merely because they have to, out of some perverted sense of loyalty to what's going on. Things have got a bit pear-shaped for Spurs in recent weeks, and obviously Guardiola against Mourinho. The head-to-head record used to be entirely one-sided. Mourinho manages 3 wins in the first 17 games against Pep, but he has turned things around recently. The last 7 show 4 wins for Mourinho, a draw and just two defeats in the last seven games. And since he's taken charge of Spurs, he won both home games against City. This is the first time he's taken them to the Etihad. Obviously, last time he was in Manchester, things worked out pretty well. They absolutely annihilated Manchester United 6-1. So what's going to happen here? Well, we have Man City in record-breaking form. The 10 games that they've won in the league, they're averaging 2.3 XG, 4, and just half a goal XG against. Spurs, away from home, do actually create chances. So I think there's a 2-1 win here for Manchester City, a relatively close but comfortable game. I think it's a 2-0, and then there's a consolation goal for Spurs. What do you think, Enda?
Yeah, I think similar enough to you. I would go even further to say that I don't actually think Spurs will score in this game. Like Jason alluded to earlier, I think Man City have gone 10 games now without conceding a goal. So that's the type of form that their defence is. But yeah, there's the Diaz stuff makes a difference. But again, you're thinking Spurs are out of form. Man City are in form. Man City are at home. I wouldn't give Tottenham too much chances here.
Okay, and I presume Spurs are friendless in the market as well, Jason?
Yeah, absolutely. We have City 2-7, the draw 9-2, and Tottenham 8-1. And this is a game where we fully expect to see a bit of regression to the mean. If you look at the last three meetings between the sides, Man City have won the XG 7.2-1.3, but in each of those games, Spurs have actually come out the better in terms of results, picking up 7 points out of possible nine. To simply put it, Man City have had 68 shots in those three games and only scored two goals, where Spurs had 10 shots, 7 shots on target and scored 6 goals. That's not sustainable. City should have been beating Spurs by 2 clear goals in each of those games, and they've actually lost them on average by more than a goal. So that has to correct itself this weekend. We fully expect it to do so.
Or else Jose Mourinho has broken the XG model.
That's possibly it. And like I said, Man City 68 shots, but you have to give credit to Spurs. A lot of those shots were probably being blocked down in a very congested, well-organised defence. So you have to always apply that. You know, one single bit of information, whether it's XG or whatever, doesn't tell the full story. But when Man City are in this kind of form, 13 of their 15 games, they've won half-time, full-time. And I like to always back that when they're in this form. It's 5-6, but I'm going to go slightly away from that. If you look at their 8 games they've won in the league since the turn of the year, they've won them by over 2.5 goals on average. So at a slightly better price, at 10-11, I'm going Man City -1 to win this game.
Okay, so Man City -1 means you're a winner if they win by 2 clear goals.
2 or more, yeah.
Yeah, so a 2-0 win, a 3-1 win, your quid's in for that one. I think it's hard to see. This is the trap that we all fall into, though, that past performance is no guarantee of future performance. That at some point, this run will stop for City. And is it more or less likely to stop against somebody like Jose Mourinho, who's been plotting for this game against Pep since the start of the season because he hates Pep? We just know that there's something there. Ever since the finger got stuck in the eye on that sideline of the, you know, Pep, obviously, that was one of his guys, a very important man in his life who, you know, is no longer with us. Like this is something that means something for Pep. So I don't know.
Well, I think Spurs were actually the last team to beat Man City this season. 2-0 at home in London, as far as I know.
Yeah, and in terms of when you see runs like this, those three games I alluded to, City should have won the first one and finished 2-2, but Jesus had a goal ruled out with VAR. Gundogan missed a penalty in the next game that would have put the 1-0 up. They end up losing 2-0. And even that game that you end alludes to, City absolutely dominated. They had an equaliser to make it 1-1 that was harshly ruled out for a slight handball. So there's context in those games, but all things being equal, we know what performances to expect from both teams. And City should be winning this game. They really should if they perform as expected.
Okay. Brighton against Aston Villa is next, Enda.
Yeah, again, and we'll fly through this because there's another couple of good games coming on. Brighton, again, their run of form kind of came to an end against Burnley. Burnley seemed to be the side that ruined people's form because they did it against Aston Villa as well a couple of weeks ago. And this should actually be a decent enough game to watch. One thing to look out for here is the way that Brighton line up. Their formation doesn't really rely too much on an out-and-out centre defensive midfielder. They've kind of played more traditional number eights, and then an attacking midfielder with that, be that Pascal Gross getting forward or whatever. But that should leave a lot of space for Jack Grealish and for Ross Barkley to intertwine in that number 10 position and get in behind and put Ollie Watkins through in goal as well. So I think that Brighton, the way that they set up, might just be perfectly set up for Aston Villa to have a nice game here. In fairness, Aston Villa have been really good this season and really good to watch, which is more important for a team playing in the position that Aston Villa are. So
yeah,
I think that Aston Villa should win this game.
Same points in early February that they managed across the course of the whole season last year. Villa fans beginning to believe that their team will be reliable in matches like this. I'm still not, you know, I'm still not quite ready. Still always have the fear of these games. Our fans on Instagram think this is a landslide Villa victory, but I suspect the pricing isn't like that. Brighton have a lot of supporters.
Brighton are 7-4, the draw 23-10, and Villa 6-4. So Villa are actually going to go off favourites. Brighton, terrible home record, only 1-10 this season. There's the obvious stat that their last three home wins have come in three different calendar years. Really impressed with Aston Villa this season, and for me, I'm really happy to back them at that 6-4. I know Brighton won the game at Villa Park, a bit of controversial end to it. I still don't think it was a penalty. I thought he got enough on the ball, but in terms of the overall game, I thought Villa deserved to win it. And for me, this would be one of my stronger bets for the weekend, Aston Villa to win at 6-4.
All right, Southampton against Wolves. This is the first of the Sunday fixtures. Southampton, 5 defeats in a row in the league. Does the cup matter to them? Does it help them get some confidence going? I'm not sure. And our Instagram poll says 61% believe that Southampton are going to win this. At home this season, their defensive numbers are quite strong. They only allow 1.1 XG against per game. Wolves, though, not scoring very much. 3 blanks in their last 4 league games. They average just a goal, 1.1 goal XG per game. No goal scorer in this, nil-all draw, I think. This is one of those games that if you're masochistic and you like betting on football for less than whatever, go for the nil-all, go for no goal scorer in this.
Yeah, I fully agree with what you're saying, Ger. Southampton 29-20, the draw 21-10, and Wolves 2-1. In terms of if you're going for the nil-nil, we always tell punters back the no goal scorer, because if there's an OG score and you're on the nil-nil, you lose. But if there's an OG score and you're on the no goal scorer, you'll actually win your bet. But in terms of this, both teams in terrible form. If you look at the last 5 games, last 5 rounds of fixtures, Wolves would be 17th in the table and Southampton would be bottom. The only thing I say is fair play to Southampton. They've actually gone for the cup. They went strong against Arsenal in the cup and won the cup tie, got bet a couple of days later in the league. They went strong the other night, whereas Wolves did not, and this might have a factor in this game. But Southampton deserved to be in the quarterfinal of the cup. But like I say, you don't always have to have a bet, and at those prices, I don't actually have a strong pick for this game.
You bring it up there, and we had talked about it, but I looked at the Burnley team sheet the other night, and I was disgusted because at 16-1 a couple of weeks ago, they were a great bet, and it was all set up for them. It would have been really easy.
Yeah, we were on them 80-1 each way heading into the fourth round. But I think Deutsch was just caught between two stools. I think they're 8 points clear of the relegation zone, but they had a lot of injury concerns last weekend that carried over to midweek. And obviously, that's a big game against Palace. If they can beat Palace this weekend, it virtually ensures Premier League safety. So just disappointed with a few injury concerns that meant Deutsch couldn't go full strength midweek to give the cup the proper crack that I'm sure he'd love to.
All right, so that is Southampton against Wolves. West Brom against Manchester United, Enda?
Yeah, so I think if you're looking at this side and this game, when Big Sam took over West Brom, he would have identified as Man United as one of the teams that they can beat in the top six, because you're thinking, right, they struggle against sides with a low block. They struggle mentally at times to actually get up for games. So if West Brom can keep it tight, then they can definitely frustrate United. The problem with West Brom is no matter how well no matter how tight they keep it or how well they stick to the game plan, their defense is just not good enough. They concede the most amount of goals this season. They're conceding the most amount of chances this year as well. And their XG is 2.82 against. And just to explain what that actually means, that means they're allowing the opposition to create a lot of chances, but a lot of good chances. So you're expecting them to score or concede almost three goals in every single game across the season. So against a side like Man United, who are scoring for fun and have added firepower with Cavani. Fernandes is scoring more goals. Rashford is starting to pick up form. Greenwood is starting to play well now too. I think that this will be an easy enough win for United. I don't think they will be as frustrated as they might have been last season.
Okay, a routine victory for Manchester United. Is that what the money is saying?
It is, absolutely. West Brom 8-1, the draw 9-2, and Man United 2-7. The goals that West Brom have conceded this season, 54 goals in total. That's 2.3 goals per game. That's not even XG, that's actual goals they're conceding. And since Big Sam took over, that's actually, on the 10 games he's been in charge, that's 2.8. Like, it's just really, really poor from West Brom. The only concerns I'd have, normally when you see United this short or a team this short, you'd like to have a look at the half-time, full-time markets. But that would have been a loser based on the game at Old Trafford. United only getting a penalty through Fernandes in the second half to win the game. You might think there's going to be a lot of goals, but there'll be game management in this as well. United, a big game against Sociedad on Thursday. So Ollie might look to take a few players off if United do go two goals up. So the only bet I'd really have a look at is Cavani at 7-2, first goal scorer. Because the way West Brom will be camped in, it's going to be Cavani's movement who is more likely to be a goal scorer in this game than maybe one of the other players coming from the wings.
Okay. Arsenal against Leeds is next. That one is on Sunday at 4:30. Arsenal friendless on Instagram. 37% of our users backing them. Leeds, 63%. The hipster's friend, Leeds. So a couple of things about Arsenal. Their form, from an attacking perspective, is bottom half of the table. They created just 0.9 XG in the game they lost against Villa. That was following on from 0.7 against Wolves, 0.9 at home to Manchester United. So they are not creating goal-scoring chances recently. Their defence is actually much better, and it's got better as the season has gone on. So I think they're in the top five, four of the teams boast a better defensive record. And that's why I don't think Leeds are going to have it all their own way in this. And I can see this being a nil-all or a one-all, and not a lot of goals for me being scored in this game, Jason.
Yeah, very good points. Arsenal 10-11, the draw 27-10, and Leeds 14-5. And the reverse game at Elland Road, it finished 0-0, but Leeds actually battered Arsenal for a lot of the game. The 20 shots, just failed to put it in the back of the net. And looking at those prices, I would be siding with Leeds at 14-5. They're ahead of Arsenal in the table. Sometimes the table does lie, but that actually tells a pretty true story. Like I say, plenty of shots from Leeds. What we could give you as a really interesting fun bet, we'll do a shots on target special on Sunday, Paddy Power. We have Saka, Patrick Bamford, and Calvert-Lewin that have one shot each on target. Now, obviously, Calvert-Lewin is in the next game against Everton, but that is normally 7-4. It's enhanced to 5-2. So if you're not a supporter of either of these teams, if you're watching the Sunday night football, that's a really interesting bet that could get you a bit of entertainment value over two games. But for me, at those prices, there is actually value in Leeds at the 14-5.
All right. OK, that is that game up. Enda, you're up next.
Yeah, so it's Everton against Fulham. And probably one thing to keep an eye on here is the fact that Everton went to extra time against Tottenham during the week, and a lot of their first team players were playing in that game. So might be a little bit tired going up against the Fulham side who, you know, they were improving their form, but they didn't really get the wins to match it. So they're still struggling at the bottom of the table. On paper, Everton should win this easy enough. And one positive that Everton can take this year is definitely the fact that if it's not working, they do have answers to change it. Like against United, when it clearly wasn't working with the diamond, they changed it in the second half and were by far the better team for the first 20 minutes of that second half, got two goals back. Against Spurs as well, it wasn't working. And then earlier on in the season as well, they just have the ability to change it and change their formation, and the players respond to that. You obviously have to give credit to Ancelotti for building that sort of mentality. Fulham don't have the depth for that. They don't have the quality in the players to do it week in, week out, and they're just not scoring enough goals at the minute. So I think that this should be a routine victory for Everton, but in terms of the bets, I would wait to see what the market's saying.
Okay, what is the market saying?
Yeah, and it's dead right. Like, always wait to see what the price is. Everton 19-20, the draw 12-5, and Fulham 14-5. The extra time is a factor. Everton really wanted to win, and they got the job done the other night, but we have seen the price drift a little bit. Everton mightn't be at full strength for this game, which is factored into the price too. But just to concentrate on Fulham, 22 games in the league this season, only 2 wins and 9 draws. They're just not winning enough games to stay up. As Enda says, they're not scoring, haven't scored in 4 of their last 5 matches. And if I was to price this up and if both teams were full strength, I'd have Everton about 4-6. So I'm just waiting to see the Everton team news. And if it looks good, I'll be on Everton at 19-20.
Okay, and let's move on, because West Ham against Sheffield United is not a million miles away from that story. It is 84% think West Ham are going to win this game, just 16% think Sheffield United from our Instagram poll. West Ham have the second most points in the calendar year of 2021. Not that there's a special prize for that, as Leeds fans know all the way back in the day. But I think this game is relatively straightforward in that Sheffield United showed a few flickers of hope, and then that hope has relatively quickly been extinguished. And I would expect West Ham to be a short enough price for this one, Jason.
Yeah, West Ham 4-6, the draw 13-5, Sheffield United 4-1. For me, that West Ham price is too short. A lot of concerns around centre defence, Ogbonna, Issa Diop, Balbuena could all be missing for this game. Sheffield United have won 3 out of the last 6. I know, okay, they didn't beat Chelsea, didn't get a result against Chelsea. But for me, at the prices, I'd side with Sheffield United at 11-10. West Ham's home record, it was only 3 wins in their last 7. And the Premier League this season, 40% of games have finished in away wins. We've never seen a season where there's been more away wins than home wins. All this has to be factored in, and that West Ham price is too short at 4-6. So Sheffield United and the draw, double chance at 11-10.
All right, and the final game, Chelsea versus Newcastle. These are both Monday night games, by the way.
Yeah, Monday night at 8 o'clock for the Chelsea Newcastle game. And you know, Chelsea are starting to pick up with a little bit of form here under Tuchel, and you can see that immediate manager bounce. They've won every game except for the opening game against Wolves, which they drew 0-0. So they're starting to really pick up form. They're passing the ball nicely. They're starting to, you can almost see an effect immediately and see why Tuchel was so sought after by so many teams over so many years. So I do think they are building something nicely. It might have been a little bit too late for them to push for the actual title, but I think now that they're in Tuchel's hands, top four is there for the taking for them, especially with Liverpool's form, especially with the likes of Leicester, who, you know, they fell out of the top four last season as well. So I think that's what Chelsea will be aiming for, and Newcastle are a perfect opportunity to get 3 points because they're just so up and down, and this is a game where I think that Chelsea will just have too much in their arsenal.
Yeah, Newcastle have been good since we announced them dead a couple of weeks ago on this very show. So maybe they're going to make fools of us this weekend. What does the market say, Jason?
Chelsea 1-5, the draw 5-1, and Newcastle 12-1. A 1-5 price you're probably thinking for your ACCAs, but it's a Monday night game. You mightn't be doing an ACCA necessarily. So you're trying to find value. So if I gave you a choice, Ger, would you rather be on Chelsea to be winning half-time, full-time, or would you rather be on Chelsea to win the match and over 2.5 goals?
Probably Chelsea half-time, full-time.
Fair enough. They're both the same price. For me, I'd rather be on Chelsea in the over 2.5 goals. They're both 8-11. But again, that's the punter's choice. Just for me, I think Newcastle could be a little bit tricky in the first half. Chelsea, you know, struggled to get the job done almost against Barnsley last night. But like I say, you're looking for value when a team is that short, and either of those two selections is probably where you'll find it.
All right, Jason, Enda, enjoy the weekend's football. The Paddy Power half hour / 37 minutes this week. We're a little bit over, but you know, it was good stuff. We're with you every Friday afternoon, bang on 1:30. If you want to get involved, you can WhatsApp us during the week, 0879 180 180. And next week, we have the start of a brand new competition, which I know those of you who don't always win on your bets are going to like a lot. We'll give you details of that next Friday when we see you then. Take care.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.